podcast 120 on Occam's Razor. Not really on Occam's Razor, I'm just going to throw that in as a little bit of a link, because I'm sitting here reunited with a friend with a wing. We are in Colombia just for a few days, just for 48 hours, ready to fly home. A familiar voice. I think this is podcast number 3 for this guest. How many podcasts have you been on, Ian?
Might be 4 now, I think, actually. I don't know.
Jesus, I must be getting desperate. I am scraping the barrel. Got no other content, so we thought, oh, here's Ian.
I'll get it back.
Ian's been travelling the world this year. If you've listened to him on other podcasts, you know that he's a digital nomad. That's fucking hard to say. And cliched, but Ian was doing it before me. That is working online. And now he's a filthy bastard. So really this year he's gone nuts, he's gone around the world, he's just been around South America for the second time this year, so we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about his improvements, because he's been in the game, I think this is his third year anniversary, is that right?
Nearly, yeah, a few weeks away. Yeah.
Which is really not much at all, mate. It's highly impressive. You know, you always big up your mates and you say, oh, they're really good with girls, but Ian is really, really, really good with girls. And I've travelled with him, and I've winged with him, and I've seen, most importantly, the girls that he fucks. And yeah, quality has gone up this year, but we'll talk about improvements. And also, this wouldn't be the Tom Torero podcast without some filthy stories. Perhaps you enjoyed reading my 30 blog posts, the Dirty 30, they're still on my website. Lots of filth. And as I've seen Ian over the years, he's made that progression too. From polite, nice boyfriend, kind of sweet guy, day gamer, which gets you laid, to utter filth. And we'll have a few stories on utter filth. As ever, cheesy upsell at the beginning. If you want to support what I do, buy a book, buy my video product, or leave a review, leave a nice comment on YouTube, leave a comment on iTunes, on Lulu. It all helps to spread the man love. But anyway, why did I call podcast 120 Occam's Razor? It's geeky, it's scientific, but it makes sense in terms of day game and mental masturbation and guys loving the theory, you know, keyboard pickup artists and loads of different companies and coaches saying this is the truth about attraction. No, this is the truth. No, this is how you do a date. No, this is how you do a date. Oh, this is our model. Oh, fuck you. This is our model. And a new guy just goes, well, what the fuck is the answer? What's the truth? And I've said many times that all competing companies and instructors and theories, they all boil down to the same thing. But what somebody who's been in the game 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 plus years does is, what's the cooking word? Simmer it down to its essence until almost nothing's left. So that's pretty useless advice for a beginner, because you need to learn attraction, comfort and seduction, you need to learn escalation, blah, 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 blah. But what Ian's done for sure, because I watch him even game real time, and you'd think, well, what really is going on? Nothing seems to be going on. What's going on with texting? What's going on with the date? Ian will tell you about his date model. How is that possible? Well, Occam's Razor, you might know that as the scientific and philosophical rule I'm quoting, says that entities should not be multiplied unnecessarily, which is interpreted as requiring that the simplest of competing theories be preferred to the more complex ones, i.e. cut the mental masturbation and wanky theories and, you know, massive, massive, massive reams of writing. What the fuck actually matters? And after 4 years in game, plus, or 3 years in game, in Ian's case, you basically find your own answer. And you say, well, I know what game is. I know what causes attraction. I know what to do on a date. And I don't need to read anymore. I don't need to watch any more of these fucking videos. I don't need to take any training. So perhaps you're new to this and you still need the theory, street hustle, stealth seduction if you want to see it for real. But if you've been in the game long enough, game is just scaffolding, it's just training wheels, la-di-da-di-da, take them off. I'm not some fucking cult guru leader saying, must do what Tom Torero says. No, you should fucking simmer it down. Anyway, we're in Colombia, we're getting ready to fly home. It's going to be a shock in terms of time and temperature. But here is Ian, sitting next to me in the podcast studio. And first of all, mate, you've gone nuts with the travelling, perhaps more than me this year, because your online businesses are sorted, which is a topic for another day. But where has Wally been? Or where's Waldo, as they say in America? Where has Waldo been in 2017, and where are you going to go?
Yeah, it has been a year of lots of travel, actually, and which is, I don't think I quite set out to do that. It's just kind of
you
happened.
Have such a stable plan.
I think I've done like 45 flights or something this up to now, this year. But yeah, so I started off the year in South America. Spent some time in Chile, which was good. Santiago's a nice city. That was good. Got laid off my second approach in the continent, which was rather a nice, easy start. And then moved my way up. Spent a little bit of time in Colombia at the start of the year. That was good. Then back to Europe. Numerous trips to Russia. Went to Sofia in Bulgaria as well, which was...
Quick summary of Bulgaria. Lots of people asked me about Sofia.
It was shit. Nice city. It had everything that kind of the ingredients to be a good city for day game, apart from girls.
There were just like Romania. You'd think there should be loads of hot girls. Either they all bugger off, or genetics is too mixed. Mm. That's the conclusion.
But yeah, it was a nice city, nice temperature, nice shopping area. But the girls were just not hot. And I think I was there 4 or 5 nights, and I wouldn't go back. Spent some time in Krakow down in Poland. That was nice.
You're back in the UK a little bit?
Very little time in the UK, actually. Maybe 10 days or something so far this year. Hardly anything. The best results in Europe have come from my trips to Russia, which were probably the 3 hottest girls of my life, perhaps. Definitely one of them was, I think, the hottest. And then back to South America. I've been to Chile, Argentina, Peru, and now here in Colombia, sat with you.
Where are you going in November, December?
End of the year, flying to Japan early November. First time there, so that's quite exciting. And then...
If it's still there.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed it'll still be there.
Don't you dare, Kim Jong, whatever your name is. Don't you fucking dare.
And then I'm going down to Australia, which is predominantly for cricket. So I'm a cricket fan, and I always used to lie in bed listening to the Ashes as a young boy, so it'd be nice to be there for a test match. And then I'll go down to Sydney and a bit of day game, catch up with some friends.
Well, it's a ridiculous year because your income is sorted online. We've spoken about that before, but we'll do another podcast in the future because Ian is a wizard with... Ian's helped me with the MR points, points in general, how to fly business class. Ian fucking flies first class. Not through spending cash, but clever ways to get points. Just sorting out the hustle. So that's why and how he travels a lot. Okay, but game, because this is a podcast about game and Occam's razor, simmering it down. In the beginning, I remember we've made podcasts about fake it till you make it and going out doing loads and loads and loads and reading all the books, Street Hustle. And... learning stuff and filling your head and like complicated date models and real structure. But this year, even at the end of last year, I've not seen you do anything like that. I've not even seen you do kind of massive day game sessions. Occasionally when we traveled in Russia, I saw you do a little bit. So what's the difference? Like, you've got hotter birds with less game, Occam's razor, and new guys or maybe intermediate guys are going, well, how? Because I thought Tom said you have to learn theory and do 30 approaches a week.
Yeah, okay, so at the start of this year, the plan was to do a little bit less and try and optimize my results because I was aware when I kind of sat back and reviewed the year before that I had these periods of really good success and then these dry kind of spells where I wasn't really feeling it, my vibe wasn't that great, but I was chugging along anyway. So this year, my plan was to do... less. I'd got to the point where I was not bored of going out doing day game, but the improvement curve had basically, without trying to be arrogant, I wasn't really improving because I'd got to a level where, you know, I couldn't really get that much more improvement. So going out wasn't as exciting anymore. I was only going out for results, blah, blah, blah. So my plan was to go out less, but only really go out when I'm feeling it, when I wanted it, and when I desired it, and when I wasn't really feeling it, not bother. That's not something I'd advise someone to do that hasn't put a lot of time into this already, because you're just not going to get results. But I mean, because of my lifestyle, I was quite fortunate, because since I got into game, I've had time to do a lot of it. So it's not like I've tried to fit it in around a 9-to-5 job, you know. So I've been able to really optimize the amount of time I've spent. But it's, so yeah, going back to that, the question, it's interesting because occasionally I'll do some coaching with some guys and I'll find myself telling them to do things that I realize full well I don't do myself. Mm. And so that kind of got me thinking, that's a little bit kind of strange. Like, you know what this guy should do in this situation,
but you don't do it.
But I don't do it myself. If he was to just watch me in an average day when I'm approaching, he'd be like, well, hang on, you didn't do that or that or that.
Yeah.
So it was, I'd become aware that I was not really following the model, or not, it was, a lot of it had melted away.
We were talking over lunch about the purpose of game. And I think even our first podcast together was called Fake It Till You Make It. Was that the first one?
First or second, I think, yeah.
Which is the whole point of game, which is, in the beginning, you think you have, or you do have, pretty low sexual market value as a guy, and you fake it with game. You learn all those game tricks, which are ethical, because that's what you do in persuasion and sales. You're presenting a higher value, and you do that with all the game techniques that you can read about. That's why it's called the hustle, and it's scaffolding. There's loads of scaffolding. And in Day Game 3.0, I say you finally take off the scaffolding when you're making a new building. You can't just leave the scaffolding on there when you've made the building. And it seems this year, maybe last year, definitely this year for you, 99% of the scaffolding's come off. Like, your date model is almost non-existent. It's pretty silent. Mm-hmm. And your speciality is the hand, which you can talk about. Yeah. And you certainly feel like you're not faking it anymore, yeah? Because that value, if you are sleeping with those Russian girls, which you have done, I've seen the fucking quality, and girls around the world, your body must say, oh, hang on a minute, this is not fake. Yeah. I am capable of that. I believe in my value. Whether you had that value before and you just didn't know it is another question. But I believe that you've, like, stripped all the scaffolding off.
Yeah, absolutely. I see game as a system to fake being the guy, the confident guy that does sleep with attractive girls and has an abundance. And then once you get to a certain point, then you're using less and less game because you have become that. You don't need to say the thing that you need to do to pretend to be that guy. You are that guy.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, like you said before, there are still times where a girl is extra hot and you're like, holy shit, you know, and you're like, you still need to, you still, or you feel the need, maybe you don't, you know, but there's that little bit of doubt occasionally that you'll just fall back on the structure, but that's what it's there for.
I think principles are embedded as well, like your text game is on autopilot, the way you, Ian resorts to, you know, just hand-holding on a date rather than questions game, strawberry fields, five-step escalation. And when I was recording Stealth Seduction, it was very, like you said, I had to remember, like, oh shit, this is a teaching product. So in Stealth Seduction, I do cube, strawberry fields, five-step physical escalation. And often here in South America, I've done none of that, and one venue or no venues. I've walked girls back. But you're right that if you're learning this stuff, Ian and I are not saying freestyle. Don't do this stuff. You got to learn the shit, and then you got to drop the shit. Is that right?
Well, once you've learnt it, you've got the confidence to drop it. Whereas until you've learnt it, you don't really know what to say, what to do, and you're nervous. And if you're nervous, the girl's going to pick up on that. So it's when you get to that phase. But yeah, my dating has changed a lot. I used to try and steer it with verbally. I would, you know, with verbal spikes and the questions game. I remember, must be year and a half ago, I was having what I thought at the time, and it was, you know, good results by using the questions game to steer dates in the direction I wanted them to. But now I barely do any verbal escalation at all. It's just, and I know a lot of guys always want to sit next to a girl on a sofa. I much prefer to sit opposite them and just take their hand. Mm. Use some excuses at first, you know, I always have some rings on, maybe they do, you mess around with their fingers, and then as soon as possible take their hand, and just waiting for that moment that they accept my handhold, and then maybe they caress it back, and I can read everything that's happening from that, and the verb, what's going on verbally is irrelevant. You could be having a boring conversation about fucking what her job is or anything. It's everything's going on under the radar.
That's what I've got an example here in front of us of Occam's razor, which is exactly that. Because think of it like you're the doctor diagnosing the situation here with a girl, which is compliance. And the beginner, when he's trying to get compliance from the girl, and there's so many variables, he says, well, what's going wrong? That's always the question in coaching. Is it my jacket? Is it my voice? Is she a no girl? Did I say something? He can't diagnose. But through game, this is what this note says on Occam's Razor. It says, in medicine, there are many explanations for symptoms, and they take the simplest diagnosis first. So, for example, if a child has a runny nose, it probably has a common cold rather than some kind of freaky rare birth defect. Medical students are often told, when you hear hoof beats, think horses, not zebras. So yeah, when a girl's sitting in front of me and I think, oh, why is she wobbling a little bit there? Or why has she just asked my age? Or why has she asked where I live? I know what that means. I know those shit tests. And I know the most common explanation because I've done it hundreds, thousands of times, right? So in the beginning, self-diagnosis is tough. So get a coach, record yourself, ask a wing who's better than you. But in the end, you're kind of self-diagnosing, aren't you? And going, ah, she's a time waster. Oh, she's on. Oh, fuck it. Skip venue two. Oh, fuck it. Handhold. Oh, this is real LMR. Oh, she's a virgin, which we'll talk about. Oh, she's a psycho, which we'll talk about. Which leads us nicely on at our halfway point to filth. Filth and enjoyment of tales around the world from Ian. There's too many to talk about this year. Some of them I've been there and seen it or seen the aftermath. But you've chosen a few stories, starting back in South America at the beginning of the year. Can you tell us why South America is pretty fucked up for fucking?
Yeah, this was quite a funny story. So it was Medellin in Colombia, and it was evening. It wasn't late. I think it was, I don't know, 8 o'clock or something like that. And I just decided to take a stroll and see this hot girl, go over, speak to her, seems pretty on, suggests we have a beer. She's keen, go to a bar, have a beer. Then we go to another bar closer to my apartment. It's all just giving me all like good signs. So far I'm thinking this looks like should be a good same day lay. She's hot. So we're at the bar, start making out, just sat in the street at this bar. And then she starts to just be a little bit strange. It's like she's going from like super keen to like not keen at all. I'm getting like green light, red light. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? And then she's like, oh, you just spoke to me because I'm hot. You know, like shit test. Like, oh, you, oh, this is, yeah. I'm like, just passing all this, fine, blah, blah, blah. And then she's going from hot to cold, hot to cold, hot to cold. Every now and then we'd make out, and then she's getting really hot. And then she says, where's your apartment? I'm like, it's just over there. And she's keen to go back. I say, come on, let's go back to the
green
apartment.
Light.
I'm like, pay the bill.
Go, go, go.
Quick as I can. Start walking back to the apartment. And now we're getting, it's only maybe 60-second, 90-second walks. Close, right? Obviously, it's just by sheer chance. So we get 20 seconds of the walk. She just suddenly stops. Like, no, this is wrong. I'm like, oh, it's fine, just relax, like, you know. And she's like, oh, you just want to fuck me because I'm hot and attractive and young. I'm like, she wasn't even that young. She's like, 21, 22. And I'm just like, anyway, I'm passing these tests. And then I realized that kissing her was like, I just say, come here. And I start kissing her. And then she was just like super on, grabbing me, like pulling my hair, yeah, in the streets. Like, come on, let's go. So get her to the apartment. And we've had two or three episodes like that on the way. Anyway, get her in the apartment.
Off on.
And I just chill out at first. I go to the toilet. She sits down. I get us a little drink. Start chatting. Then we start making out. End up in the bedroom. And it's all good. Now it's just like on. She says to me, have you got condoms? I say yes.
The best line.
So it's like, right.
It's the final line.
Great. I get a condom. We're naked in bed. Have you got condoms? Yes. Put a condom on. It's all good. I just
you put your money on it, guys. Put your money on it. Take your bets.
Nothing can go wrong. And then, so I'm just about to penetrate her. And then she just suddenly, like, very seriously, like, why am I here? What do you want? And I'm like, I just look at her and say, I want to fuck you.
Yeah.
And then she just fucking spazzes out. She's like, you're disgusting. And I'm just like, whoa. I was like, you just told me to put a condom on. And she's just like, you're disgusting. This is terrible. We hardly know each other. Like, all the kind of shit test material, but fucking,
yeah,
dialed up to
Colombian, South American,
yeah,
level.
To crazy level. And then I just stand up. And then I'm like, look, if I'm that disgusting, just get out. And she's like, I'm going, and she fucking got her clothes on and stormed out of the apartment.
We joke that she's crazy, but she is crazy.
She was crazy, yeah. So day or two later, she texts me apologizing, saying sorry for my behavior, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right. So text her, what you up to today? And she's like, well, I have an appointment with my psychotherapist. oh, okay. So yeah, that was a...
Yeah, classic South American story. So you need balls of steel here, frame, polarity, fuck me, reminds me of Russia. And that links nicely onto story number two, where, again, you suddenly, everything's going well, and suddenly you are faced with dominance of a weird kind.
Yeah, lots of failure stories there, it's good, it's good. So I was back in South America, and I've met this girl who I'd met like a week before, and then I'd flown off somewhere else, and then I came back, took her out, she's quite hot, it all seems quite good, take her to a bar, I do my hand thing, getting good compliance, so I suggest go back to the apartment, we go back, it's fine, start making out in the bedroom, it's all going good, and I thought, this is straightforward. And then she starts to get very aggressive, she starts biting me, like, not little bites, like painful fucking bites, like biting my chest. And I'm just, at first when she's mildly getting aggressive, I'm like matching it and, you know, pulling her hair harder, and it's like, but this is just making her worse, she's getting more, and I'm like, fuck. And I'll just tell her, look, just chill the fuck out, just chill fuck out. And she's like, just turning into this monster. Yeah. Which just doesn't turn me on. And then I carried on, and it was just getting to the point where I'm just thinking, I don't know if I want this anymore. Yeah. And then she's just like, if you don't fuck me in the next 2 minutes, I'm going.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you know what? Just go now. She's just like, looked at me like, she's naked in my bed. And she's just like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, just go.
If you're a beginner, I'd call you a wanker, but I can totally understand. This sums up polarity. There's something wrong with that level of female dominance. I don't like it. I think men that are into that weird dominate trick stuff, lunchtime in Manhattan, going and get themselves spanked, that's fucking weird.
Some guys would love it, yeah. But for me, it's just not a turn on at all. But after she left, I did sort of question myself for a minute or two. I thought, am I crazy? Like, I just had a naked girl in my bed that was hot, and I told her to leave. But I quite quickly thought, no, actually, I'm...
You've got abundance. If you hadn't got abundance, you'd have fucked her.
Yeah.
This is the difference again. You've got dozens. So, no. No. Bye-bye. Let's finish with something happier, guys, than thinking, fucking hell, he's had a psycho year. He's had a good year. We're not telling you the lays, because they're never really good stories, as I say in Below the Belt. A lay's just the number closer, dated her, fucked her. This lay, because it is a lay, this lay story, I've never heard before. I've never experienced this kind of lay. I've never heard of a day gamer do this. So maybe this is a world first. Fire away, Ian, with this South American lay story.
Okay, well, it's definitely not a world first, because I know a guy that did do this fairly recently, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a growing trend. Okay. So this is the new thing, Tom, you're lagging behind, mate.
Shit, so, do this, I'll get out today.
So, okay, so it was the day after I told that girl to leave the apartment, actually, and it was my last night in the city. And I wasn't in a mood to do any game, I wasn't hadn't gone out to do any day game, I was just going to a market to look at rings and, you know, maybe buy some jewelry, whatever. So I book an Uber, and Uber driver turns up, and it's a girl. I was like, that's surprising, it's quite rare. And not only was she a female, but she was hot. So I was like, huh, this is interesting. But I didn't really think more of it. Just got in the car, she spoke some English, started having a bit of a chat, asked her if she's been to Europe. I've told her at this point that I'm leaving tomorrow. She knows I'm leaving the city the next day. Which is a counterintuitive thing. A lot of guys would think that that would fuck it up, but of course it doesn't. She says, yes, she's been to Europe, blah, blah, blah. She's been to Russia. I said, oh, I've got a Russian girlfriend.
Again, counterintuitive, that is. Yeah. What? You're telling her what? Says the nice guy.
Yeah, but obviously pre-selection, so it's doing the complete opposite. So it's a good sign, but it's, you know, it's, there's nothing, that's a little bit of teasing. I tease her a little bit, but it's not... There's nothing really saying it's on, apart from one point where she says she loves the English accent. So I was like, okay, she likes my accent.
Right? Yeah.
So drive's coming to an end. It's like 20-25 minute Uber trip, and I've decided, okay, I'm gonna try and number closer when I get out. So I'm getting out, and I just said, listen, let's stay in touch. You got WhatsApp or Facebook? And she's like, oh yeah, both. And I was like, oh, I'll take your number. So I took her number, and I didn't really think that much more of it at that point. Went to the market, blah blah blah, and then later on that evening, just dropped her a text, simple text, you know, just telling her I'd bought something at the market, and she's replied, blah blah blah, simple text back and forth. I asked her how she spends her evenings. She said, asked me what I was up to, said I'd gone out for a meal, but now I was back at my flat drinking wine. She then asked me if my flight the next day was early. So that for me was that, okay, this is on. So then I said, let's go for a drink. She says, I would like to. She came to right outside my apartment, took her to the bar opposite, one drink, hands. It was very on, very quickly with the hands. She asked me some questions about my girlfriend that I'd mentioned in the car, but I didn't back away from it. I didn't say, oh, you know, she's not really my girl, because I don't have a girlfriend. I don't have an
exclusive.
You've
used that a lot though this year, and I've learned that from you actually. Like one last night, just to chip in, but it's an important point. Girls, I've noticed for years, girls look at you with puppy eyes at some point, often in just before sex, and go, do you have a wife? Now the beginner, the nice guy, the old me goes, no, I'm really single, I like being single. And the new me kind of smiles and goes, not what, no, you know, 1, 2, 3, I don't know, 6, 7, yeah. And they want you to, and that's fucked up. Why does she want you to have a wife and kids? It's because she just wants you to fuck. She doesn't want to be your girlfriend. She doesn't want you to be a chode. Yeah. And if you've got a wife and you're leaving the next day, or you got a girlfriend rather, you've said it all year to girls, haven't you? I have a girlfriend, and that makes them hornier.
Yeah.
Because they want to be the lover. They want to cheat. There was one in Middle Europe where she had a boyfriend. You pretended to have a girlfriend, and it improves your sex life. Anyway, yeah. I'm chipping in, but that's an important shit test, guys. Don't back down, as Ian said, and smile, cocky, agree and amplify. Never say that you're single and lonely. Fucking hell, I know one guy, you know one guy, who says he's single and tragically lonely.
Anyway. But yeah, so I didn't back away from it, told her a bit about my girlfriend, and then it was a simple bounce back. She'd already knew I was drinking some wine. She knew I was leaving the next day. Let's go and finish my bottle of wine, otherwise it's going to get poured down the sink.
Which is true.
Yeah. Okay, so back she came, and it was very straightforward from there, and it got very messy.
Weird blood, not period blood, just aggressive, just sex.
Oh, I didn't. Well, oh yeah, I mean, she said she hadn't had sex for like, I don't know, 5 months or something, and yeah, it was quite a messy affair. I was walking into the bathroom after we'd banged the first time, and I was like, oh, okay, there's a bit of blood, and then about half an hour later, we banged again, and then there was a lot of blood. Yeah.
And I heard the Airbnb host wasn't pleased.
Not too pleased, no.
But glorious. There we go. We're going to have to leave it there. We are coming up to 30 minutes. And just to tie things together, I've been posting more on my newly designed, newly optimized website. It's very mobile friendly. I'm enjoying blogging for the first time ever. I will be doing videos, but anyway, last night, not to brag, just to say that it was so glorious and unexpected. I perhaps had my best lay of the year. I'll have to think about whether it was the best sex of the year, but it was certainly, she was really hot, and it was good game, and there was some technical stuff in there, simple, keeping it simple, but I'll put it on my blog, and then I'll get back on the videos. But anyway, cheers to Ian for podcast 120. Next time I see you, we'll be in probably somewhere near Russia or somewhere chilly. But I'll see you in Japan. Ian and I, if Japan still exists, we shall put out some videos. Because sadly, the guy I normally go with, Tim, Captain Tim, good mate of mine, he will probably be in China. He's got a job in China. Good on him for his Chinese hustling. And I don't think he's allowed that time away in November. But we shall think of you, Tim, if you're listening to this podcast. But anyway, Occam's razor, keep it simple, stupid. All right, I'm going to tie up with this example. Two trees have fallen down during a windy night. There are two explanations you could have, all right? Maybe you've read them on the internet. Explanation number one, the wind has blown them down. explanation number two, which you probably read on a pickup forum. Two meteorites have each taken one tree down, and after that hit each other and then removed mysteriously, magically, any trace of themselves. You might be sold that by a pickup company or a textbook called Street Hustle. No, I tried to keep it simple. Which one's the most fucking obvious? Right? So when you're diagnosing your own problems, or your mate's diagnosing them, and you're listening to yourself, and you're thinking, why isn't she attracted? Why isn't this date going very well? Or as we often note with guys, why didn't we have sex? Look yourself in the fucking mirror and say, what's the simplest explanation? Are you massively overweight? Do you look like shit? Have you not cleaned your teeth? Here's some more common ones. You put yourself in the friend zone. It's fucking obvious, right? Your voice is too quiet. It's so obvious. You supplicated. It's so obvious. I bet on the date you supplicated. Now on the date, I diagnose every Skype call like this. Did you escalate? And he says, no. There you go. That's Occam's razor. On the internet, you're going to fucking read, did you do the cube? Did you do this? Oh, it was because of your shoes. Oh, man, you got to get this haircut, right? Oh, you didn't disqualify, then DHV, then multi-stack, and then back to... I'm like, mate, did you ask her to come home with you? Not really. Or even worse, she's in your house, and the guy goes, I don't know what happened. And you say, well, did you get her on the bed? Did you get your dick out? No. Well, there you go. Occam's razor, okay? Disregard a lot of pickup shit after you've filtered through it. Obviously not Street Hustle, because that is Occam's razor. I've tried to take all the Dago knowledge and boil it down. I'll leave it there because we've gone over half an hour and iTunes doesn't like it. Thank you, Ian.
Adios.
Adios. Hasta luego. Gracias, señores. We'll speak to you. I'll speak to you back in autumnal Europe, but from South America. Adios.